Okay, so my presentation is a study on the early effects of hallux-valgus surgery on balancing gait in middle-aged and older adults. And I am Shirley Chen. I'm a second-year podiatry student at Scholl College of Podiatric Medicine, and I worked on this project with Dr. Fleischer. Okay, so fall prevention has quickly become a high-priority public health concern given our rapidly growing elderly population. They are now the leading cause of injury in older adults, and over a third of them, 65 and older, experience a fall each year, which causes 10 to 20% of them cause serious injuries. Right now, there is, in the U.S. healthcare system, spending $19 billion for non-fatal fall injuries, including their complications, such as pressure ulcers, pneumonia, dependency, and decreased quality of life, and $179 million is spent caring for the fatal fall injuries. So you can see that, like, with the increasing aging population, that this is becoming a huge problem. In this graph, you can see the number of older adults is expected to be more than double to 88.5 million by 2050. So that's about 20% of our total U.S. population. So you can see it's rapidly growing, like, from 2010 is represented by the green, 2030 by the darker purple, and by 2050, there's going to be a much larger elderly population. So us as podiatric physicians can play a major role into fall prevention efforts. The current evidence suggests that the targeted interventions aimed at addressing lower extremity risk factors and foot problems, such as reduced walking speed, difficulty performing activities of daily living, and impaired balance, can reduce the rate of fall events in the community-dwelling older adults as much as 30%. Dr. Hilton B. Menz is a renowned podiatrist who completed his PhD in focusing on gait patterns, balance, and fall risks, especially in the elderly population. And he found that hallux valgus specifically is associated with poor performance during balance and functional tests in older adults. He found that people with bunions demonstrated increased postural sway, decreased maximum balance range, increased time needed to perform alternate step tests, increased time for a sit-to-stand test, and decreased walking speed. So historically, these efforts have been focused on home-based regimens, such as prescribing orthotics or different foot-type treatments, but it has been unclear whether a surgical intervention can affect balance control and fall risk in patients with foot deformities. So hallux valgus deformity was found to double the risk of falling. And it is conceivable that the surgical treatment of painful hallux valgus deformity, which may allow for improved walking and better balance control, may reduce the risk of falling. So the benefit of surgery is that it is a one-time fix and that podiatric physicians can perform. So that's actually better because sometimes you'll deal with patients who aren't as compliant as wearing their orthoses all the time, or they won't be wearing appropriate footwear. So our study aim was to determine whether corrective surgery for hallux valgus can improve upon the unfavorable balance and gait characteristics that has been linked with fall risk. We initially started off the study with a cross-sectional study. So we had 19 patients who just had hallux valgus. They were the preoperative group. 10 patients who had just underwent successful hallux valgus surgery. So they were the postoperative group. And then we had 11 control participants just to get a baseline measurement. And then all the assessments were made in clinic using body-worn sensors. So to assess balance control, we measured the center of mass and ankle and hip sway using the body-worn sensors and balance sense technology. And then we measured under double stance, single stance with their eyes open and closed. Those were the conditions. And then this was just basically how we hooked up the sensors to each patient. We had one on their waist, their thighs, and their shank. So this was the balance protocol that we used for everyone, just like with eyes open and eyes closed. And here was some of the sample output. You can see the difference in the center of mass and like how they differed within 30 seconds of when we tested them. For gait, we tested the spatiotemporal parameters of gait using a program called LegSys, and we just had them walk across 40 feet at a habitual speed. And then we also tested for their pain scale using a visual analog scale. So here's just the sample output for that. All right, so the findings that we found from the cross-sectional study was that post-operative patients who had just undergone the Hallux-Valgus surgery exhibited 29 and 63% less center of mass sway than the preoperative patients who still had Hallux-Valgus during double and single support balance assessments. So you can see the dark is the preoperative Hallux-Valgus patients, the lighter is the post-op group, and then the darker gray right here is the control group. And it was a little better for single support than double support. For gait variability, there was a decrease in gait variability. So you can see like it's not as much as the balance control because it probably needed like a longer post-operative time period. But the trend suggested that there was less gait variability between preoperative and postoperative patients. So based off of just the cross-sectional study, it basically suggested that the surgical correction of Hallux-Valgus may enhance balance control and that it might have an early effect on the balance. So the gait will probably require a longer recovery time, and we needed to do further research with the longitudinal study design and a larger sample size that we can assess the long-term effects of Hallux-Valgus surgical correction on balance and gait. So currently we're working on the longitudinal study just to have a better comparison on patients who receive Hallux-Valgus surgery compared to their preoperative state. Currently there has been 24 subjects that have been in this longitudinal study. They're recruited from the Weilfoot and Inkle Institute, and they're all given a distal diaphyseal osteotomy in combination with a medial first metatarsal head partial osteotomy. And then all the preoperative subjects were prospectively followed up for their balance and gait at 12 weeks and 12 months. So for the preliminary results, we determined that during the balance in single stance that there was a center of mass sway significantly reduced on average of 39.3% and 41.5% for eyes open and eyes closed respectively. The ankle joint sway significantly reduced by an average of 66.5% during the single stance eyes open test. And then during double stance eyes closed, there was a few noteworthy reductions in center of mass sway, but it wasn't as significant as for the single stance. So you can see this was with eyes open and then this is with eyes closed. The results showed that the gait, this is the gait results, and it showed that there was non-significant changes in gait parameters such as stride velocity, stride length, and double support, but the gait variability right here reduced significantly on average by 55% and medial lateral sway increased by 43%. So the significant changes in gait variability suggested that a successful Hallux-Valgus surgery helped patients maintain a steady walking pattern, which in turn reduces the risk of falling. And on the other hand, increase in medial lateral sway may reflect reduced joint rigidity during walking. So the preliminary results from the longitudinal study were consistent with our previous findings, and it supports the concept that balance and gait is improving with Hallux-Valgus surgery. Gait performance measured by gait cycle variability significantly reduced postoperatively, suggesting that patients with corrective Hallux-Valgus surgery are better able to coordinate their gait. And then there's improvements in balance control after Hallux-Valgus surgery, as you guys saw, and that could be due to better first MTPJ range of motion, improved tactile sensation, better proprioceptive feedback, and reduction in foot pain. And then future plans is to just continue recruiting. I was trying to work on that this summer, but we kind of were at a standstill, so we're going to keep trying to recruit patients to get a larger sample size. And these are my references.
Great, thank you. Are there any questions?
Yes. First, it's a great study that we have got to happen for stuff like this, improving our value in the system, healthcare system. But I guess this is for Adam, probably more than you. Have you thought about adding a third arm?
Did that study look at I mean, this is a surrogate measure. You know, you really want to know if fewer people falling or have goodness. This is kind of a surrogate outcome we're looking at, which is balance and gait. In fact, when you look at all the balance parameters, we kind of wonder which one do we pay most attention to, right? Which one's the one that's most correlated with falls? And, I think it's worth doing. You know, I think what's fun about this is, you know, even the orthopedic folks don't really have a great idea what their hips and knees are doing, you know, after surgery. And so here we are looking at, like, the common thing we do by in surgery and seeing how, you know, if it does improve.
Well, it's not just balance. They're going to be more active, and hopefully that could lead to them, hopefully better health as well.
I think that's a good study, you know, just as a thing.
I just said how I'm going to incorporate it.
Yeah, and these people are all people who got scars, so
yeah, I want to know if you looked at physical therapy before and after surgery with these patients to see if that would improve their health at all.
So 2 years ago, I used to work for Advocate here in the city, you know. And 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, actually it was 3 years ago, I joined WOW. And when I worked for Advocate, I didn't send anybody for PT afterwards. Nobody actually, you know, except for the people that I thought would be real challenges and motivation. But our protocol at Lyle is to send everybody to physical therapy early. And then I started reading more in the literature and realized that this is, you know, not clear cut, but it's pretty obvious that they start normalizing gait quicker, they probably have quicker, speedier recoveries. And so so everyone in the study is going to have that in the protocol. Before and after. Not before. I don't know if they're going to PT before the bunion surgery, but it's immediately after. So, what do you do at your program? Do you?
Yeah. I conservatively send people with balance issues to physical therapy, and oftentimes, especially if it's associated with neuropathy, and just no study has been done, but I do find that their gait and their ability to function is significantly improved of whether they have bunions or not. So that's why I asked the question as to perhaps how that would impact your research.
These people are not necessarily fall risks, any of them. You know, it's just the inclusion criteria is 45 years or older, need bunion surgery. Many of them are actually bilateral. And you're looking at these changes pre and post intervention. We're not really picking a high risk population to do it on. It's anyone over 45.
Did you use standardized shoes for gait?
So because it's within subject comparisons, we're having them use the same shoes, you know, pre and post. Yeah, they're same basically tennis shoe or whatever shoe they present it.
Are there any other questions? Or?